Hello and welcome once more to the Port of Solia radio programme on Boat Radio. I'm Shirley Roberts. Visitors to the Port of Solia can now take a tour around our beautiful Horseshoe Bay, riding a Ninebot Ninja. Those two-wheeled, gyroscopically stabilised scooters used to be known as Segways. First, a safety briefing.
The first thing, the most easiest thing you have to be, is be relaxed. Don't think about your balance, because it's a robot, and the robot actually makes you imbalance. So you don't have to bother if you don't have a good balance. It's very, very easy going. So you step up on the machine, and you try to stand still. That is our first thing to do, stand still and be relaxed. So you just hold the steering of the Ninebot very slightly. You don't push it or you don't pull it. You take one step on the machine, it gives a beep, and then you go on the other step. And then you just try to stand still. If you want to move, you move your body slightly forward, and then you're actually already going. And then you just push on the steering also slightly, and you go. And you have to feel a little bit the machine. It is a sensible thing. So it goes as you feel it, actually. And to stop, you bring your body back into the middle, and you pull a little back the steering wheel, and then you stop. Those are the first step to take. We go a little bit slowly, and then the first thing to do is try to stop. If you want to steer, it's a little bit an other movement that you are used to in a car. The steering goes horizontal to the left or to the right. And then you're ready to go. We make always a little tour inside of the marina around the parking space, that I can see how people move, if they are comfortable and relaxed. And it takes up to 2-3 minutes, and everybody is used to it after 2-3 minutes, and then we go.
I didn't want to do it, so I sent Mike McDowell to give it a try in the company of Ninebot Ninja boss Nick Maliocchetti.
So my connection actually starts with Segway, and it's quite an interesting story, which is that 4 years ago now, I lived with my family in Surrey, and one of the things I was looking for, having moved to Surrey, was a pastime, just something to do, something to do outside of work. And on one of my late night sort of YouTube exploratory sessions, I came across Segway Polo. There is actually Segway Polo, where they play polo on Segways. The Segway has a retractable handle. You lower it down, and you have a mallet, and you have a helmet, and you play polo. And I saw this thing and said, "This is the coolest thing I've ever seen." So it's like Segway for geeks.
And was it though?
and then I started exploring further and further and further, and I found out that the European CEO was based out of Germany, that the global chairman is Steve Wozniak, the founder of Apple, and in fact the World Cup is not called the World Cup; it's called the Woz Cup. So I started exploring, and I looked for a British team, and there wasn't a British team. So what I did, I contacted the international head office, and they said, "Well, get in touch with Europe because you fall under Europe." And having emailed the German president, within 5 minutes he emails me back, and in a very...
When you say the German president, you mean the president of the German...
This is the president of the German Segway Polo team, and also the head of the European Segway Polo Association. And he says, "Nick, we haven't had a British team in years, and you must come over to Germany, you must try it," and whatever. And he convinced me, I don't know how he did it, and within 6 hours I was on a plane to Germany. And I flew out to Germany, and
right.
And never set foot on a Segway before.
So you might be one of the oddest people I've met, but don't take that the wrong way. Please carry on.
Jumped out the airport, stayed with this guy. Next day, we did 2 days of training with the German national team. And when I left Germany, having fallen in love with the sport, having fallen in love with the... Don't be too rough with it, just Sorry. Because... just because otherwise the gyro will feel it, and it will then try to put you back. And when your body's somewhere that the gyro is not, it will chuck you. Or you will... It will try to rebalance you like a horse.
Yeah.
And if you're not where your body should be, it will... And you're gone. Be
right.
Great for radio. Better for TV.
Yeah.
So I leave Germany, And as I'm leaving, he goes, so Nick, we are very proud to know that now we have a team being created in London, and you are now the president of the UK Segway Polo Association.
Goodness me. So as well as a true British eccentric, you're also a president of something.
Yes, exactly. So that was after 2 days. So that was my introduction to it. I helped set it up originally, but then was very lucky to find an incredible couple, Mark and April Weller, who now actually run the team for the UK. They now do everything for it, and I'm literally just a bystander at the moment.
In among all of this, you became the franchisee, right?
So what happened was then when I moved to Spain, by total and utter, again, serendipity, I ended up in an event with the Spanish and Portuguese rights holder for Ninebot, which is now also Segway. And we got to talking, and he heard my story about how I'd started, and he said, this is fascinating. Let's have a chat. So today, we're retailing online, we're retailing internationally, we have distributors globally who we're working with, so we're B2B, B2C, rental, we're everything. We're also just about to go into our own accessories as well, so we're opening a line of accessories, which will be helmets and pads and the exits.
So how do you describe this vehicle? Is it a gyroscopically stabilised two-wheel scooter?
So the simplest way to describe it is it's an electrical personal transportation vehicle.
Right, but how does it stand up? I'm standing on it and it's not falling over.
And it does it by a gyro, and there is a gyro which works in, would have to describe it, where the wheels are always in tension through a gyro. And by you turning left and turning right and moving forward, what happens is there is a central, where your center of gravity is directly in the middle, just below where that the plug point is. There's a central gyro which will always make sure that stays within the center of gravity of your body. So if you lean forward, you go forward. If you lean back, you lean back. It's a very clever piece of technology, and probably my explanation is probably about as basic as
that's all we need. I think if you went any further than that, I'd be lost. I'd be completely lost. So the tours, we're standing right at the, I'll let this Mercedes scoot past. The tours, we're standing right at the very end of the quayside. We're near the harbour master's office. Yep. Where do you head to?
So we are currently in the marina of Sóller. We're very fortunate to have got a spot here because, as anyone knows, finding spaces in Sóller is super limited, and you know, shops, etc., etc., etc. So we were lucky to strike up a relationship with Jaime and the guys here at the marina.
Mm-hmm. Jaime Gonzalo, the harbour master.
Exactly. And the reason why this is an ideal location for us is because we can now leave the marina, take the entire bay, the entire paseo, come up, and then start the ascent all the way up the mountain, which we're going to do shortly. And we go up and we end up at the lighthouse.
Yeah.
We normally do it in three stages. So we leave from here and it will take us about 15 to 20 minutes, and we stop normally at the Citric Hotel, which is just there.
Yep.
Nice, because you can drop yourself off a coffee, drink, whatever, and have a 5 minute break. Also, for newbies, it's sometimes nice for them to rest their feet a little bit.
Yeah.
We take a 10 minute there, and then we set up for the next part, which is the more, by now, they should be, you know, used to controlling the speed and the machine, because the second bit is a little bit more testing, which you'll see. And it's up, and it's quite, you know, it's 15 degree inclines, yeah. And we go and we do the ascent up to the mountain, which is beautiful. We then stop there, we're taking the view, photos, and once the clients are ready, then we'll start our descent again, and we'll go all the way down. And it's very different coming down a steep hill to going up a steep hill.
I bet it is. And so that's a good hour's journey, is it?
It's the quickest we've ever done it is just over an hour. The average is around about an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, why don't we have a tootle around towards the paseo?
Did you see you dragged your foot?
And Danielle was saying that I mustn't be hunched. I've got to stand upright.
Exactly.
I think I've got bad posture anyway.
The most important thing when we're driving is just watch the road that you're on. The flatter, the better. Try not to be sort of one on, one off. Because again, if and this will sort of make a bit more sense now, is as I said, the gyro moves like this or like that. So if you've got one wheel on and one wheel off, it doesn't actually have the understanding of where you are. So one will spin and the other one will stay thing, and then it will go and you're done, gone. Right. So it's just try to stay in.
So you're standing really quite upright, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just, so if I was going to describe it, it's a ski position. You know, it's as if you were skiing.
Oh, there are a few bumps in the road here. No, I mean, got to take it carefully.
Don't be afraid of them. You'll be absolutely fine.
Oh.
And again, you'll get used to this.
So I notice we are travelling on the road, not on the pavement.
For now, we are.
You're wary of pedestrians.
Just simply because in this part there are some protruding, anchor bits, things which I'd rather avoid. So just for now. We're just going to be on the road and then we're going to jump on the pavement. The funny thing is, it's not about going fast or whatever, but if you had to catch me up, you see, your intent will catch me.
Oh. I am going quickly now. Oh, that's...
Whenever there is a little or a big hump...
A bump in the road. So we're going up a curb here. It's a shallow curb.
You go over with intent. Again, that's it. Just be confident.
Yeah.
Great. So just stay a little bit more relaxed on your arms. Don't be too stressed about it.
We're just passing the big sports fishing boats, getting ready for a day's fishing. Loading up with bait, getting the rods in the holes there, in the slots on the side. And we're pootling along actually quite quickly now at a good sort of...
So we're doing eight kilometres an hour.
A decent jogging pace. Past all of the restaurants on the quay side in the port of Soyer. Great restaurants, actually. The food here is terrific. Now, we're just getting to the Marina de Soyer boatyard. Loads of boats in for repair, anti-fouling, painting the bottoms, that sort of thing. A lot of boats in. Gosh, it's really busy there. Really busy. The busiest I've seen it, in fact. Wow.
There is a lot of boats today, actually.
Yeah.
Again, make sure you give yourself a good distance between anything that can touch the wheels. You want to give it as much distance as possible.
So Nick is pointing out that there are large planters and lots of, I guess what designers and town planners would call street furniture.
The only challenge with these is they're silent, so people can't hear you. Well, I've had done it.
We've slowed right down now because we're really close to the water's edge, whizzing alongside where all the traditional yachts are. Tied up the double-ended fishing boats that are ubiquitous in the Balearic Islands. Beautiful little old boats, very seaworthy actually. Really good. Okay, we're getting to the beach. How would they cope on sand?
You would want to go on as hard a surface as possible. They can handle sand, they can handle grass, they can handle anything. It's just, it's not really for the novice rider.
Yeah.
Hey!
Oh!
Hey, little!
There's a puppy running away. That. I demonstrated my control there. Right, okay, we've just crossed the tram tracks into the shade. So, Nick, you're obviously not a local.
No.
I shrewdly tell that you're a Brit. How have you ended up on this paradise island?
So, it's. As I was saying before, my wife and my child and I, we were in Surrey up until 2 years ago. We were taking the opportunity to move for my son's school. We were going from Weybridge to a place called Oxshott. He was going to be enrolled and he would actually be in that new school for coming up to possibly 15 years, which for anybody is quite a long stint anywhere. So we said, well, before we make that massive move, stay to the side of that, before we make that massive move, why don't we take a year out and go and live somewhere where we would never really live as a... So, guys, just here, just stay between the tram track and the thing just to come over.
Right,
just
we
stay.
Are in the middle of Nick's story. We're now having to overtake the local recycling collection truck. And that's taking me very close to the tram tracks. Okay, so we've passed Eden. The hotel in Soyer with the letters on the top that everybody uses as a landmark in the port. We're just coming up to Alice and Olivier's Petit Café, the place for frozen yogurt and fantastic coffees in the port. Nick's nodding. Everybody knows Alice and Olivier in the port of Soyer. It's a fantastic spot. So Nick, you were just taking a year out to to consider your this big decision for your son.
And what it was getting him into school is a big thing. Being there for 15 years is an even bigger thing for us. So we said, listen, let's take a year, even 18 months, and go live somewhere where we wouldn't live forever.
Yeah.
Somewhere where we can have a fun experience for a year or so. And the house had just sold, so we had time. And we began by doing a massive lot of research, and through a number of, again, very strange decision-making processes, we ended up coming to Mallorca.
We've got as far as the new minibar at Feta Soya, which is also a great place to sit and while away a little bit of time. Look at the colour of the water. That's why you're here.
Guys, if you just stay to the side a second.
There's a huge Mitsubishi Jeep coming up behind us. We're on the road now. We're tootling along the Paseo. In Italian, the Lungomare. This is the seafront. Yeah, but anyway, look at the colour. Look at the turquoise colour of the. Look at that. It's extraordinary. It's absolutely beautiful. That's why you're here, isn't it?
This is why we're here. And we found and this is quite funny. The decision-making process was, I couldn't find any properties that I was excited about at a distance. So I turned to Twitter. And this is the honest truth. This is the process that I went through. Is I went on Twitter, and I found the five most popular individuals whose profiles were based in Mallorca. Again, guys, if you just pull slightly over here, please be very careful on the tram tracks. Okay, don't let your wheels go down the tram tracks, because that's a bit of a nightmare.
I'm watching that very carefully. The car wants to get past us, but there are also a few pedestrians in the way. We're outside. Here it goes. We are outside the Esplendido Hotel, which is, an upmarket place here in the Port of Soya. I, for some reason, still continue, unless I'm actually outside it looking at the sign, I still call it the Estupendo Hotel, which I don't think they'd be that disappointed with, to be honest, other than the branding.
So we're going to cross here, guys, okay? So again, let's go past these people first.
So it's important that our line of attack is perpendicular to the rails so that we don't accidentally end up slotting into the tram tracks. There we go, bump. That's me over. Getting a little bit breezy, actually, at times this morning.
So I tweeted these four people, and I did, within 140 characters, I said, moving to Mallorca with my wife and child, need a property for a minimum of a year, and we're looking to move within the next 4 weeks. Looking for options within the next 4 weeks. And I tweeted four of these individuals. Three are quite very well known estate agents on the island, which I'd probably, and I tweeted all of them, and only one person tweeted me back. And she tweeted me back within 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I got on the phone with her, and I gave her the job. And I said, and what I did is I sent her an email. Okay, guys, so here, you're just going to just let it take you down.
Right, it's a bit breezy. We are on a bridge now, and the bridge takes us over a storm drain, which is the size... Ooh.
Don't hold on to anything. Just.
Yeah,
just.
I almost ran into the railings there. See, I feel quite unsure down that hill, I have to say. So we're coming down a ramp, the wheelchair ramp on the far side of the bridge. Ah, and here we are, other side of the bridge. This part of the beach is called the Repic, and we are outside what I know is a favourite of our very own Shirley Roberts. I'm outside the Marina Hotel, and what a lovely place it is. And the sun is shining, and the beach is pristine, and the water is clear as glass, as I mentioned before. So we're just whizzing in on what you would call, I suppose, the away from the boardwalk, although it's paved, and we're tootling along between lines of restaurant tables now. These things are so strange.
So it's I sent this email, and within 3 weeks she had sent me about 20 different options, which we'd whittled it down to five, and we were on a plane and we came out 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And we came in, we looked at the properties, and we ended up finding an amazing property in Alaro.
Yeah.
And that's where my wife and child now live, and I commute weekly back to the UK.
And was it important when you found that house to be in the north of Mallorca, or you went for the house rather than the location?
We had no idea about location. So we purely went on research and people's recommendations. Purely.
Okay, so we're coming up to, along the Repic, locals will know, there is what was once a spooky abandoned water park on the left-hand side. It's only recently been dismantled. There were huge water slides there, really tall towers. They've obviously removed them before you arrived, and there was a huge pit at the bottom into which the kids would be. It was filled with water, and the kids would be ejected off the bottom of this quite elaborate system of slides onto the bottom.
So we're not going to go down this little thing here. We're just going to very carefully just go back onto the pavement.
These things are almost silent.
Yeah, and that's actually part of the challenge, because you know people don't actually hear you.
How fast do they go?
So the speed again. So this is a little bit of a lip. Just bend, go down.
So I'm going very slowly down a short slope now onto a sort of a driveway, and back out onto the main road. And now we're on the far side of Repic.
Very good.
And we are heading up what I have to say is quite a steep hill. So yeah, Nick, how fast will these things go?
So they'll go up to 20 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
So legal on electric vehicles is 25 kilometers per hour output.
Yeah.
So they could go faster, but there is a limitation based against law and just against the battery and the heating,
okay,
etc.
So they're limited to that.
Yeah. The distance in which it can travel is 35 kilometers. If you're a heavier individual, your probably maximum speed would be 18. If you're a lighter one, you could even go up to 22, 23.
Right.
So guys, when we're going up here, if a car comes, just stay towards the right-hand side and sort of stay and hug the side. But not too close, but just hug.
What's the age? Try it. It's fantastic. What's the age? Sorry, I was just speaking to some people. I wasn't just shouting that randomly. There were some people next to us there. What's the age limit? The lower limit?
So from a rental perspective, we've rented them to children as young as 13, 14, as long as their parents are with them and their parents take responsibility.
They're on the tour with
but
you.
But the natural age would be about 17.
Right.
Okay, so the youngest would be about 17. It's funny, the younger, the kids have a lot better. So just to explain, on the tour, we normally stop at Citric for a coffee or some water or, yeah, toilet breaks.
Just going across a big drain, a big grate.
Ooh, so again, so here we need to sort of stay as on to the side just in case a car comes down. Just give yourself about a meter distance from the side if you can.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the where it gets beautiful now.
Look at that. We are now rising higher and higher, quite a steep hill. You'd be in first or second gear in your car. The machines are starting to whir a little bit. It's getting a little bit breezy up here. I can really smell the sea. And we're getting higher and higher above the, I say it all the time, but the spectacular Horseshoe Bay that is the port of Sawyer. And I'm now looking at the mouth of that beautiful bay, and on my right hand side across the water, black and white stripy lighthouse, next to the original lighthouse, an old one, and then up on the rocks high up above the water to my left and ahead of me is the modern, the newer lighthouse, the bright white tower, the port of Sawyer. And I'm looking north towards the Spanish coast, but it's too far away to see it. There are a few boats out there, and the water, although it's a little bit breezy, you know, the water is just about flat calm. Absolutely lovely. Ah, somebody's just come past us in a hire car. Managed to avoid us very nicely.
So we're going to take this wide. So go up.
Okay, we're coming to...
And then around.
This is a proper Mediterranean island mountain hairpin bend. Lots of loose rocks on the surface. You can probably hear in the background the machine is struggling with my slightly portly frame.
It's fine. They will not struggle at all. You'll be absolutely fine.
So I remember, Nick, back in the day when these things, you know, just moving over, there's a diesel van coming up the hill now behind us. Here he comes. So he's off to do some maintenance work on one of the rental villas up this road here.
For about the next 100 metres, it's going to be on the road, and then we'll be leaving the road, so there'll be no more cars in about 2 minutes.
Okay. So, Nick, I remember back in the day when these things first came out, so back in 1999, 2000,
yeah,
a book was written about them, and I think the book was called Reinventing the Wheel.
Yeah.
Ah, the soundtrack you hear in the background are one or two of the mountain goats that live on the rocks here. Nick, when that book came out, or parts of it were leaked to the press,
yeah,
no less than Steve Jobs himself,
yeah,
described the, as it was then, Segway scooter as, I think he said, the most important development, or as important a development as the personal computer.
Yeah.
He said this is going to revolutionise personal transport.
Yeah.
I think he was then later a little bit less flattering because he wasn't that keen on the design.
Yeah.
Just moving over for another car. But in actual fact, he wasn't quite right. I mean, sure, you do see them around in major cities on tours and that sort of thing. And doubtless the boys from Google are whizzing around Google headquarters on these things all the time.
Yeah.
But they've remained kind of a novelty, haven't they?
The basis of that is twofold. I think for a start, electric transportation has never been as important as it is today.
Yeah.
And in the past 15 years, everything from the solar panel to the Sinclair C5 have been, unfortunately, a little bit ahead of its time. And by time, it doesn't mean that the consumers weren't ready for it. I think it was the embracing of it from a legal and from a governmental perspective as well. Because if you consider that, you know, they put up so much, try to stay off the gravelly bits, just because you never, when you look at the legalities, let's say, for example, in the UK, for example, okay?
Yeah.
The UK has a very antiquated law based against the original penny farthing when it first came out as a bicycle, that the penny farthing was given, was legalized, or the bicycle was legalized in the UK based against the fact that one wheel was in front of the other, and that that was considered to be able to balance. So balance was about one wheel in front of the other.
So part of the problem is the legal definition of a bicycle.
Completely correct. And when Segways and when two-wheel personal transportation, which had wheels next door to each other, came out, they were classified as illegal because based against a law which was built when the penny farthing was out. At that point, they had no idea about gyros. But this is illegal because it naturally, if you follow the law, you're going to fall over and you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, so, we're a long. I'll just interrupt you for a sec. There, we're quite a long way around the bay now, and the view is extraordinary. We're beyond the far side, the mouth of the Horseshoe Bay. I can see the Jumeirah Hotel and a few boats out. The wind is actually picking up a little bit now, so it's actually getting on to being a pretty good day for a sail. So Nick, you say the part of the problem with these revolutionary forms of transport is the fact that the law in the UK particularly, and Europe generally, has, yep, been slow to catch up.
Correct. In the UK, the only legal area where you can drive on a Segway is on your own private land. So let's just give it a little bit of... Hola.
We're getting quite high, yep, above sea level now. We're way up the cliffs, and these mountain goats, how they cling on to these teeny-weeny ledges over these vertiginous drops is absolutely beyond me. The view now is magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. I'm looking at a 180 degrees of pristine blue sea, looking north and slightly over to the west towards the coast of Spain, and presumably Valencia off in that hazy, yeah, distance. Wow, this is extraordinary. This is marvellous, isn't it? What a way to travel. I can hear the cicadas going, the birds tweeting. Yeah, it's absolutely marvellous.
This is the tightest corner that we're going to get, so take it wide.
Hola. All the way up. We're now at the little tiny car park at Esfaro restaurant, perched on the top. Esfaro, of course, is Catalan, and it means the lighthouse, and we are now just coming up to the brow of a little extra hill, and I'm right next to the lighthouse at the entrance to the port of Sawyer. And once we get down this narrow lane, past where all these stray cats live, and then next to the entrance of the mountain refuge here, which is a lovely place called Muleta, which is where all the hikers live. We're just pulling in, and I'm going to hop off quite deliberately. There we go. And we're here at the top of the cliffs, looking out at really, well, I challenge anyone to find a view to match it. They might find a view to match it, but they wouldn't find a view to better it. I mean, that is absolutely spectacular. The Tramuntana Mountains of northern Mallorca, a dragonfly the size of a helicopter, James Finlayson, producer extraordinaire, taking photographs, lots of boats out on the water, and to get here was absolutely, apart from a few hairy moments at the start, was absolutely effortless, thanks to Nick Maliocchetti and Ninebot Ninja at the port of Sawyer.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
All the nice girls love a sailor. All the nice girls.